ask you to think of part pig, part human, a chimera. What do you think of? I think of something pretty unattractive, pretty ugly, jumping at me out of a test tube or a, laboratory jar. On the other hand, I think, well, scientists, let them go because they're the future of the world. Joining me now to talk about just that is Professor Martin Pera. He's Chair of Stem Cell Sciences at the University of Melbourne and is a leading researcher in the field of stem cells. Dr. Pera, welcome to Counterpoint.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Dr. Pera, I raised the point about the part pig, part human, because there has been some developments in the United States along these lines, has there not?
Indeed, yes. Jun Wu, Juan Carlos Ipsibamonti, and their colleagues at the Salk Institute and other institutions have described the first pig-human chimeras. A chimera is an organism comprised of cells from multiple genetic identities, and this is really the first time early human embryonic cells have been seen to contribute significantly to an animal host during embryonic development.
Mm. Now, is it also fair to say that the end game here, well, the one we can see at the moment, there'll be another one. Of course, the end point always shifts with science, but where we're aiming at the moment is to be able to grow human organs inside pigs so that we have readily available organs for transplant into humans that desperately need them.
Well, that's exactly right. That's one of the goals. The other goals would be to use animals created in this way as disease models or for developing new drugs. So you can imagine if you had a pig with a human heart, you could study how drugs affected the pumping action of the heart or what have you. So this kind of generation of new organs wasn't really achieved in this paper. The extent of the human contribution to the various tissues of the pig was quite limited. But in mouse rat chimeras, it's been shown that mouse stem cells put into a rat embryo deficient in pancreas formation, those mouse cells will kind of fill in and generate a pancreas in the rat that is entirely composed of mouse cells. So there's proof of concept there that this may be possible.
That's a very exciting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that it is. I think it's important to recognize that when we talk about a mouse-rat experiment, those are two animals that are quite closely related. Obviously, human pig, evolutionarily more distant, developmentally, in terms of the way the embryo grows and develops, many differences. So the efficiency with which the human cells can actually participate in development in the pig context, there may be inherent limitations on that.
What's the broadest mix so far, other than the human-pig combination of cells? And as you say, not many human cells in this one. The rat-mouse thing seems to me to be, they're both rodents. Are there any that are a bit more distant than that?
Yes, this is a field that actually goes back a way. And in fact, sheep-goat chimeras were first made in the 1980s in Cambridge in England. But in general, the further apart evolutionarily you are, the harder it is for the cells to contribute. And even mouse-rat chimeras are not trivial to make.
What would you see would be the next step, if you like, after you've got to this point?
Well, I think that, workers in the field will try and refine this approach. For instance, the workers in the recent study used a very particular type of embryonic stem cell that they had to invent new techniques to make this cell so that it would contribute to chimeras. And there may be adjustments you can do with the host embryo that would make this incorporation of foreign cells more efficient. The other obvious thing is going towards something closer to human, such as some kind of non-human primate, i.e. monkey, human chimera. Of course, there are a host of ethical issues we have to discuss and work through before those sorts of experiments went ahead.
Mm, I want to come to that, but I'm now talking with Professor Martin Pera, Chair of Stem Cell Sciences at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Pera, one of the issues that came up in some reading I was doing in relation to this was, what if we put a human brain inside, a monkey or a pig? That raises, for me, uncomfortable questions. I'm not sure if they are moral ones, but I'm not sure how to articulate them. But I just think if you've got the body of a pig but the brain of a human, we have done something very, very particularly unkind.
No, I think it is a very thorny issue indeed. And it's kind of interesting. People probably don't recognize this, but experiments we and others did going back to the early 2000s involved planting brain precursors made from embryonic stem cells into the brains of newborn mice. And there was some contribution. There were human cells in the brain. So it's not unprecedented. But I think if we consider, for instance, a large animal with a very substantial human component to its brain, for instance, a monkey with very substantial contribution of human cells to its central nervous system, then there are all sorts of questions. How do we regard such a chimera? What about its cognition? These are difficult questions. They're not just scientifically difficult, they're ethically difficult. I think most people, if you told them, well, we're going to create a pig with a human liver in it, that wouldn't be of too much concern. But I think when you start talking about the central nervous system or gonads, a human sperm or egg in an animal, then those issues become very difficult. And indeed, a number of panels considering these issues internationally put really redline that type of experiment is something that probably shouldn't go forward at this stage.
Mm. So we're really talking about using these cells, and they are stem cells, aren't they?
Yes.
Embryonic stem cells.
Yeah.
Yes. For very preliminary stage work, which allows us to then see what can be done for the benefit of humankind.
I think that's exactly what these current experiments are. And I think as the techniques become more feasible and the whole process becomes more efficient, there will need to be serious discussions around the ethical implications of some of these studies and exactly how far do we want to go. And those discussions are ongoing, and I think there are panels in the United States and elsewhere in the UK that are considering these issues right now.
Mm.
And I think that the general recommendation is a cautious approach.
What do you think is the most exciting development in stem cell research of which you're aware?
Well, I think there are actually a number of them. Something that is surprising to me, having been in this field since its inception, is that there are already clinical trials going on of products derived from human embryonic stem cells for conditions ranging from macular degeneration, a common form of blindness, through to diabetes, spinal cord injury, heart disease, and other conditions. So, I mean, these are early stage trials, and they're liable to raise more questions than they answer, but it's very impressive to me. The other, of course, incredibly important discovery is the finding that we can make cells that are very much like embryonic stem cells from adult tissues through the process of cellular reprogramming. Shinya Yamanaka won the Nobel Prize in 2012 for this, and this has been a huge advance that has completely changed the field.
Has that changed the field simply in terms of alleviating a category of protesters against your research? I mean, I was in Parliament when this stuff all went through, and pleased to say I was in favour of it all and remain in favour of it all. I think science has delivered wonderful benefits to mankind and will continue to do so. So I'm a big fan, but I'm aware of people who weren't at the time and probably still aren't. And a lot of their concerns related to the use of what they called embryonic stem cells. It annoyed me a bit because it wasn't as if you took a genuinely potential human life. You took cells that weren't yet, in my view, anywhere near human. But if you can create very, very similar cells out of adult stem cells, you'll get rid of that complaint. Is that something you see as a positive?
Well, yes, and first let me mention I was around during that debate, and we remember your support and we're very grateful for it. But yes, these new induced pluripotent stem cells, as they're called, do get around that ethical objection. And they offer some other important advantages. It's an efficient way to make large banks of stem cells that provide for closer tissue matching to individual patients to get around the issue of tissue rejection in transplants. So this is a much more efficient way to do that. It's a much more efficient way to make cellular models in the laboratory of disease because we can obtain cells from patients with particular disease susceptibilities from adults or children and turn them into stem cells and study the tissue of interest in the laboratory. So it's not just the ethical question, but also some very practical advantages. I would say, though, that there will still be a number of ethical issues around precisely what we do with these cells, whether they come from embryos or whether they come from adult tissues, if we're making human-animal chimeras, if we're making human eggs and sperm in the lab. These ethical issues will still be there no matter what the provenance of the cells themselves.
Mm. Well, Professor Pera, thanks for joining us today. I think you guys all do great work and everyone should be grateful. I'm sorry that you have to put up with some people who don't approve of what you do. Let's just agree that they're a bit misguided. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Amanda.
That was Professor Martin Pera, Chair of Stem Cell Sciences at the University of Melbourne. Well, that's it for this week.